Winter's over, right?
Right. Okay. So we're always on the previous week's parsha. Now it's already Thursday, so it seems stale. The parsha's boy has the mitzvah chodesh elachem. Okay, I guess it was, you know, Rosh Chodesh is always a little bit fresh because there's always another Rosh Chodesh right around the corner. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is in Parshas Bo'i. What's Rosh Chodesh about? What mitzvah do you have in Rosh Chodesh? So I know when my boys were in Yeshiva Katana, so we would always get a note home on the day before Rosh Chodesh, reminder, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, white shirts, special treats.
Donuts,
right. I think it just said special treats, and you know, then Tershwal Peh was, you knew that was donuts. So that's the derisa of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, what other aspects of it, what's Rosh Chodesh negeyah to? So it's really mostly inyanim that have to do with the davening. We add Yalva Yavai to the davening and to benching.
No,
there's no tachanun. Okay, good. But I even Tubishrak could claim that. There's halal and there's leining and there's mosaf. That's what we have.
Huh? Korbanos.
Yeah. So really the main midei raisa, what is negated to midei raisa is exactly that. There's a korban. The korban mosaf was the chashivas of Rosh Chodesh on a day raisa level. What we're going to talk about some of the inyanim that we have nowadays that are negated in shul. And a lot of them are going to end up coming back to that inyan of the karbanos. So let me start with one of the less obvious things, not one of the ones that I just mentioned now about, you know, there's Yalva Yavai and there's Halal and there's Musaf. And then there's an interesting detail that you have to be an experienced shul goer to know this. And most people, you know, if somebody would ask you, okay, I'm going to shul tomorrow for Rosh Chodesh, it's my first time. So you would tell him about Yalva Yavai, about Halal, about Rosh Chodesh. But there's a detail that you probably wouldn't think to tell him, but those of us that are in the know. And that is that the tefillin come off right before Musaf. You don't daven Musaf with the tefillin on. So why is this that you don't daven Musaf with the tefillin on? So in Hilchas Tefillin, Simon Chaf Hei, the Shulchan Aruch, says, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, they say that it's based on a Zohar, and it's because the Kedusha by Musaf is the Kedusha of Keser Yitnu Lecha. We talk about Kosh Baruch Hu getting his Keser, and the Zohar indicates that it's somehow inappropriate that we should be wearing our Keser when we talk about Kosh Baruch Hu's Keser. I don't know any more than that. It's conjecture, but maybe along the lines of that where we're like making a comparison as if they're comparable. Like, look, we also have a keser, and that's somehow considered inappropriate. We're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu's keser, so we come to that service without a keser.
Yeah, but Ashkenaz.
So the Beis Yosef brings this down. The Beis Yosef, he said, you know, the nusach of keser. And he adds that even though that's only Chazaras Hashatz, but okay, you know, then once that tefillah, the tefillahs Musaf includes the Keser, so we take it off for the whole tefillahs Musaf. But the reason is because of the tefillahs Keser. So the Mechaber writes this. The Mechaber was writing for an audience that said Keser. I don't know in this audience, some do and some don't. You don't say Keser. No, you don't look like a Keser type.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Yes, that's not saying it all.
Exactly.
The Rama writes that you know, maybe that was true, you know, that's true for you, but over here, you know, in our Aratzais, we don't say Keser. So there's nothing wrong with keeping a tefillin on. Nevertheless, the minig is not to. The minhag is not to, as if the Rama is writing that here in Ashkenaz we have this unexplained minhag. We don't say keser. The only given reason for taking off the tefillin is because of keser. We don't say keser, but nevertheless, the minhag is that you take off your tefillin. So you shouldn't be mishana from the minhag hamakom. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that you know, if you daven as Ashkenaz, there's really nothing wrong with keeping your tefillin on for Musaf. But he says, but still, don't, because everybody in shul is taking it off. Because even among Ashkenazim, the Ramah says that we take it off. We don't really know why, but we take it off. So you're having an Ashkenaz shul. Everyone else is taking it off, so you should also take it off. But the only reason to take it off is because that's what everyone else is doing. But there's no real reason why everyone else is doing it. So there's nothing really wrong if you want to leave your tefillin on. That's what the Shabura says. I think he has a lashon like anal of Taluna. No one could really criticize you if you leave your tefillin on, except for the fact that it's not proper to be Mishana from the Minhag HaMakom. So everyone else is taking it off, you should take it off. The implication is, halacha l'maisa, that if you were davening at home, this Mishnah Berurah sounds like you could just as well leave it on. There's nothing wrong with leaving it there's nothing wrong with leaving it on.
It's like Zeir Shabbat, a white shirt from Shabbat.
Even if you're davening, even if you normally would take it off because you say Kesar, you're not saying Kesar.
No, yeah, I hear. Even misspelling the Sechsvard. Yeah, smelling the tzchvar and they at least have a real reason. You know, the Beis Yosef says it's the tefillah that goes with the kedushas keser. Well, but you're right. Really, if you're davening at home, there's no kedusha. I hear that's true. But this is all what you find in tefillin and siman chaf hei. Over there, the only reason that's given is this reason about the kedushas keser, which really only applies if you daven tzchvar, not if you daven tzchashkenaz. And the Mishnah Berurah says that for the smelling the tzchashkenaz, it's not really such a big deal. But there is another reason, and this is...
Even in Chalamoid, yeah. Ashkenazim, I put it on tefillin, I take it off before Halal, because that's the yontif part of it, right?
Okay.
I mean, you think that the on the Rosh Chodesh, the Musaf is also, it's kind of the yontif of the day.
Very good. That's exactly the other reason, that's what I'm about to come to. There's a Levush. The Levush, in the early... not really commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Nowadays, it's kind of used as a commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. It's really more of a competitor to the Shulchan Aruch. It's really, you know, in the 1500s, I think, maybe a little bit after the Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote a sefer along the lines of the Shulchan Aruch. And in Siman Tav Chav Gimel, which is Hilchos Reish Chodesh, he writes a new explanation for why we take off a tefillin for Musaf. And the Mishnah Berurah in Tav Chav Gimel refers to it. He brings it down. So it's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tefillin says this is the only reason, and if you daven Tzach Ashkenaz, then there really is no reason. But then in some Tav Chav Gimel, he brings down the Levush's reason. And the Levush's reason applies equally to the Mishnah Berurah and Tzach Ashkenaz. And what the Levush says is as follows. That we mentioned, what's the real Mitzvah Deiraisa of Tefillin? Is the Korban Musaf. That's the only Mitzvah Deiraisa. There's a very interesting lashon of Rashi on the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that Amra Torah Manei Yamin Vekadesh Chodesh Manei Yamin Vekadesh Chag. That is, it's making over there a comparison between Rosh Chodesh and Shavuos. Both of them are examples of where there's a counting of days, and then the culmination of the count is there's a Kedusha Sayyid. By Atzeres, there's a counting of 49 days of the Sefirot HaOmer, and then the culmination is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And in Rosh Chodesh also, there's a counting of the days of the month, sometimes 29, sometimes 30, and the culmination of that count is a Kedusha Sayyid. So the mashmos there is that there's a Kedusha Sayyid on Rosh Chodesh. There's no Isser Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. It's not a Yom Tif. So there's a one word Rashi. When the Gemara says Kadesh Chodesh, Rashi says B'Korban Isav. There's a Kedushas Hayoim Le'inyun that you bring Korban Is. So what that Rashi sounds like is that it's not just that you bring a Korban. The fact that you bring a Korban means that there's a Kedushas Hayoim. But it's a limited Kedushas Hayom. Usually you bring a Korban Musaf on days that have a more global Kedushas Hayom that encompasses the whole day and it elevates the whole character of the day. Over here it's more limited. There's a Kedushas Hayom, there's a very localized Kedushas Hayom le'inyan that there's a special Korban. But legabe, that special Korban, there's a considered a Kedushas Hayom. So the Levush says that usually we wear tefillin, on a regular day, on a weekday, but on Shabbos and Yontif, we know we don't wear tefillin because Shabbos is called an ois, and Yontif is also an ois. When there's an ois, when there's a Kedushas Hayoim, you don't wear tefillin. On Rosh Chodesh, the Kedushas Hayoim is by the Korban Musaf. So by the Korban Musaf, there's a noise. You can't wear tefillin. The carbon musaf, when you're engaged in the musaf, then it's like it's a yomtif. It's a yomtif, usually yomtif spreads, you know, and takes up the whole 24 hours. Over here, it's a yomtif while you're doing the carbon musaf. So therefore, you can't wear tefillin for that, just like you don't wear tefillin on yomtif and on Shabbos. So on Rosh Chodesh, you don't wear tefillin while you're saying musaf, because then it's yomtif. That's what the Levush says. And that, of course, has nothing to do with the Nusach of Kedusha, nothing to do with Nusach Sfar, Nusach Ashkenaz. That's the reason that applies to everyone. We can all wear tefillin because there's a yomtif quality to Rosh Chodesh, but that yomtif quality is contained to dafka while we're bringing the Karma Musaf, or nowadays we don't bring it, but while we're davening, or while we're being mispal, the Tfilas Musaf.
By the whole night, the Kedusha is going by the whole day, I guess? And it's not just by the Karma Musaf?
So there's that might depend on, you know, on what you hold of the Isser Malacha over there. There's an Isser Malacha, there's a Machalik to be shown him whether that Isser Malacha is Deiraisa or Derabbana. We know it's an eliminated Isser Malacha. There's a Hetel, there's a Hetel for Devra, but otherwise Malacha is Aser. So many we shown him hold that that's an Isser Deiraisa. That, you know, with some Heterim. Mm-hmm. But so this question, I mean, the question of whether you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed is connected with that question of whether there's an Isser Malacha Chol HaMoed. But then other Rishonim say that even if you don't have the Isser Malacha, but there's always a different ois. You have the ois of matzah or chametz, and you have the ois from the mitzvah of sukkah. So it could be that those make give a quality of ois for those Rishonim that hold that you don't they don't wear tefillin. But Rosh Chodesh doesn't have any of that. There's no Isser Malacha on any level, and there's no other mitzvahs, hayoim, there's just the karban. So that, the mashmos is that there's a kedusha hayoim that's limited to why you're bringing the karban.
Well, women don't work, right? Women now working all night?
That's true, right. There is a minhag which is based on midrashim that nashim have, it's considered a yantif nashim. But it's a minhag based on midrashim. That's what it is. I mean, it's more than a minhag that's just 100 years old, like some minhagim. It's an old minhag. It's talked about in Rishonim, but it's not derabanan in the sense of there's no takana about it. It's a minhag based on midrashim. Okay, so that's So this Levush is, you know, it gives us a little bit of a new insight into this idea of Kedushas Hayoyim, a limited Kedushas Hayoyim. Now, we go from there to, well, keep that in mind. We're talking about halal. We know we say halal on Rosh Chodesh. We know that we say halal halal, right? Chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh. What's the story behind this chatzi halal? So the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Chav Ches, says that Rav, who came from Eretz Yisrael, that's where he grew up, and then he eventually moved to Bavel, and that's where he had a yeshiva. And at the time that he made his move, he moved from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. The first Rosh Chodesh that he was in Bavel, he had a funny story in shul. He came to shul, and after Chazaras HaShatz, they started saying halal. And the Gemara says that he was almost going to stop them, because he never saw such a thing before. Halal on Rosh Chodesh, no halal on Rosh Chodesh. We should really back up a step. The Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud is really the main sugya that discusses when you say halal, when you don't say halal. The famous part of that Gemara is talking about how come Sukkot there's a halal ikmeikra din all the days of Sukkot and Pesach, not all the days. But in the middle of that Gemara, the Gemara says, what about Rosh Chodesh? And the Gemara says, no, there's no halal in Rosh Chodesh because there's no Isser Malacha. If there's no Isser Malacha, then there's not going to be halal. So Rav knew that halacha, and Rav grew up that way. They never said halal on Rosh Chodesh. He came to Bavel, all of a sudden they were saying halal on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says that he was going to give a clap, he was going to say something, he was going to stop them. But then he saw that they were jumping around. They were saying half a kapitel and leaving out the other half. So then he realized, minig are we saying b'yadehem. Meaning, they're doing it just as a minhag. They don't think that it's a real halacha. If they thought it was a real day of halal, they would be saying the whole halal. If they're skipping around, that means they realize that it's just a minhag. Okay, that's the minhag. Fine, I'm a newcomer here. I don't know the minhag hamakom. I'm willing to learn. That's the minhag hamakom. I'll leave them with it. So based on that, the Rishonim say that, yes, we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, but it's not mishum din. It's only mishum minhag. Back then, it was only a minhag in Babel, not an Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, it's a universal minhag, but it's a universal minhag that grew out of that minhag in Babel, and we say it only b'teres minhag. There's no real halal me'ikar adin. As a matter of fact, we're not going to go into this, but as a matter of fact, that's why there's a big debate in the Rishonim about whether there's a bracha on that halal. The Rambam holds that you don't make a bracha on the halal of Rosh Chodesh because it's just a minhag. A minhag doesn't get a bracha. But Taisus argues, Taisus says that minhagim sometimes do get a bracha, and that's the prime example, the halal of Rosh Chodesh. This Taisus is a prime example of this idea that a minhag can get a bracha. Taisus brings a raya from the fact that Rav didn't realize that it was Mishnah minhag until he saw them skipping. Why didn't he realize right away? Because they didn't make a bracha. According to the Rambam, they wouldn't have made a bracha. So Taisus brings a raya from there that you make a bracha, you know that. Okay, but part of the halakha is clear that it's only Mishnah minhag. But there's a fascinating Ramban that I saw somebody point out. The Ramban has a discussion about halal. This is in his Hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. However, he has a long discussion about halal because the Rambam brings down that one of the earlier Meinei HaMitzvahs, the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, he included in his list of 613 mitzvahs the mitzvah of halal. And the Rambam said, that's ludicrous. The Rambam used very strong Chinese. What a ridiculous thing. How can somebody say a halal is one of the 613 mitzvahs? It's only mitzvah drabbanon. You can't include a drabbanon in the 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban has a lot of responses to that. But included in his responses is, he says, it's not so poshut that halal is only drabbanon. Halal might be a mitzvah deraisa. Now, I know you say, how could it be deraisa? It's based on mizmayrim of David HaMelech. David HaMelech came 1,000 years after the Torah was given. So how could it be deraisa? But that's not shver. It could be that it's a mitzvah deraisa to sing Shira on special days. Exactly what songs are in the playlist, that came later. That David HaMelech made up for us. But but you could have a mitzvah without a playlist. That's the mitzvah of halal deraisa. The Ramban says that if it's a mitzvah deraisa, so where would it come from? Where's the pasuk in the Torah? In order for it to be deraisa, it's got to come from the Torah. Where do you find it in the Torah? So he says there's a pasuk that says, "Uviyoyim simchaschem." That there's a special mitzvah of blowing chatzitzreis on special days. So that's Shira. That's the Indian of Shira. The Torah is saying that the Shira is not the same for all the days. That even though, you know, there's always a little bit of Shira in the Mikdash, but there's special Shira on special days. We have some chaschem, mayadechem, rosh hachachem. So special days have a special shira. That's some occur for the mitzvah of halal.
But the mitzvah is makrayas halal.
What? Uh-huh.
Makrayas halal. Meaning it sounds like doesn't sound like it's with instruments or, you know, like the
chatzitzreis. Right, and in the Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah was chatzitzreis. But from there you see that there's an inyan of shira. So we're makayim that through, you know, I mean, that mitzvah is dafka in the Mikdash by the Karban. But he says, but that's a makor to the idea that there's a special mitzvah of Shira on this day, and the way maybe midday rice, it could have been iskayim in any way. So maybe if Chazal had been masakein that we should blow chatzitzreis in shul, that would have been our kiyum of the mitzvah deraisa. Chazal said we should say Tehillim. You know, we should say certain mizmayim of Tehillim. But it's to be makayim that mitzvah of Shira that you find in that pasuk by the chatzitzreis. Oh, but the problem is, b'frek the Ramban. But that pasuk includes Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara says mefurish that there's no mitzvah of halal on Rosh Chodesh. So and the Gemara says because there's no mitzvah malacha. So Zok the Ramban that when the Gemara says that there's no mitzvah malacha, that there's no halal on Rosh Chodesh, what it means is that halal was nisma'it, was excluded, bigvulin. Bigvulin means outside of the mikdash, because there's no isra malacha. So that those words are about that Rosh Chodesh was nismayit bigvulin. What it sounds like is that it wasn't nismayit entirely. There is a mitzvah halal on Rosh Chodesh, midei reisa, just as limited to the mikdash, meaning it's limited to an accompaniment to the carbon musaf. When you're bringing the carbon musaf, there's a mitzvah halal. But whereas on most days, let's say on days of Yom Tif, that mitzvah expands and includes the whole world. Since there's a special mitzvah of halal by the Karban Musaf, so as an extension of that, it is a mitzvah to say halal all over the world. On Rosh Chodesh, Chazal said that since there's no Issa Malacha, we're going to limit it to just by the mikdash, in the mikdash, by the carbon mitzvah. But when you're in the mikdash, by the carbon mitzvah, then you have the same mitzvah that you have on Yom Tif, which is really the sherish of the mitzvah of Halal. Meaning the mitzvah of Halal exists on a deraisa level, even on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara calls it a minhag. Our Halal is a minhag. But there is a Halal deraisa on Rosh Chodesh in the Beis HaMikdash with the carbon mitzvah. So it's a similar idea to what we saw in the Levush, that there's a Kedushas HaYoim, just it's limited. It doesn't expand to fill up the day. It's just at the time of the carbon mitzvah. So the Ramban, you know, what the Levush said Lagabi time, the Ramban is saying Lagabi space, that there is a Kedushas HaYoim, which is Mechayev Halal, but it doesn't expand to apply all over the world. It's limited to in the Mikdash. It's Nismayit Bigvulin. But in the Mikdash, there's a Kedushas HaYoim that's Mechayev Halal. Like the Levush said, B'shas the Musaf, there's a Kedushas HaYoim that is considered an Oy, so you have to take off your tefillin. So in both of them, we see this idea that the Kerbin Musaf gives a real Kedushas HaYoim, just it doesn't expand all over and all the time like other Kedushas HaYoim. It's limited because there's no Rasa Malacha, but there is a degree of Kedushas HaYoim. And it's a sherish to the mitzvah of Halal, and it's a sherish to the idea of there being an ois, which is the reason why we take off our tefillin.
Mm-hmm. But you said that Rav only saw that minute when he left Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, well, Rav didn't live in the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, okay. And, that could be. Yeah. All right.
So this idea, again, it's this one word Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. Like Kadesh Mane Yamin the Kadesh Chaydesh. Zakdashi Bekurbanisab, which sounds like the Kurban Musaf is indicative of a Kedushas HaYoim, but it's a limited Kedushas HaYoim. So we see this playing out in this Ramban, Lagabi Halal, that there's a Halal Day Raisa in the Mikdash. And we see playing out in the Levush, Lagabi the Tefillin, that there's a aspect of Ois while you're davening Musaf, and that's the reason to take off the tefillin, right? Aside from the other reason of taking it off because of the Kedusha of Kesem. As an aside, a little bit of my Indian language, I should have mentioned earlier when we were talking about the Kedusha of Kesem, we were talking about before, that only Svaradim said, Ashkenazim didn't say. There's a very interesting Mara Mokoyim having to do with this. You know, when the Hasidim came along and started changing some of the Neschoyis of the tefillah, yeah, that's what we call nowadays Nusach Svard. You know, you have a Nusach Svard Siddur. So it doesn't mean the way the Svardim daven, because that's the Nusach, what we call the Nusach of the Edot HaMizrach. Nusach Svard really means that among the Ashkenazim, there was pure Ashkenaz, and then there was the Ashkenaz that got mixed with Svard. And that got called Svard. Hmm. And that happened by the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, who took some things, some aspects of the Nusach Svar Siddur, of the way the Svaradim davened, because the Svaradim were more, their Nusach Tefillah was more connected with Kabbalah, it was more influenced by the Arizal.
More words.
So there were certain, more words, okay, but certain aspects of their Nusach that the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov liked, because it was more Kabbalistic.
More praise.
Okay.
You don't find that in the Sfarad, more praise?
It's more wordy. It's more
wordy.
Right, yeah. And usually, to emphasize the praise more, yeah.
Kagavno versus, you know, Bamei Madlikim.
Well, that's the one feeling, you know. No, but that's two different things completely. Yeah.
Right, that's not an example, it's just more wordy. As a matter of fact, it's the one time that we're less wordy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know.
Right, Himmel de Kazachin. So the Misnagdim were opposed altogether, you know, to changes in the tefillah. But I saw something very interesting. There are some documents about, you know, from that early period of the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, let's say the last 30 years of the 1700s, it was really when it was, that was when you had the most intense
war.
Yeah, it was Milchama. And one of the documents that's been preserved is a letter from a Rav Katzin Allenbogen. He was the Rav of Brisk. Mm-hmm. So always a Litvish city. It's a city in Litva, and And he was, this Rav Avraham Katznelem Beugin was a staunch opponent of the Hasidim. But this is the one occasion where we actually have a record of a face-to-face debate. It seems that he once debated Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdishever about the merits of Hasidus. Now, we don't have a transcript of the debate, but what we have is a letter from Rav Avraham Katznelem Beugin to Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdishever, in which he says, I'm going to repeat all the things that I said when we met in person. Because basically, he has a complaint that we met and we talked, and I had all these wonderful arguments, and I think they all went unanswered, and I'm still waiting for your answer. And then he writes out his arguments in his letter. So this letter is, I guess it's kind of like a transcript of at least one side of the debate. One of the things that he says in this letter is, you know, you change the schos and tefillah, and we don't approve of that, under any circumstances. We don't like any of the changes. But there's one particular change that we mamish can't be soivel, and that's keser. It says that the Svaradim say keser. That's okay, because they're in Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, here in Poland, to talk about putting the keser on the Rabbanu Shel Olam, it seems that he was talking from, he had a background in Kabbalah, and it seems that he felt that from a Kabbalistic perspective, there's something very wrong. I can't explain to you why exactly, but it seems that he felt that there's something very wrong with talking about the Malachim crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're 1,000 miles away from Eretz Yisrael. You're in Poland. How could you say that in Poland? Now, he says that such a thing only makes sense in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'm sure he didn't think that all the Svaradim that said this lived in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, they were in Eretz Yisrael, but they're also in the lands around Eretz Yisrael, the whole Middle East and the whole Maghreb was people that davened like this. So I don't know. Maybe he felt, in Eretz Yisrael or near Eretz Yisrael is also as good. But Al Kavanov, he says that was a particular opposition that he had, that it's a halbitzar, like bishlama, if you're going to go change a word here, a word there, but to go add keser, it was the worst thing in the Nusach Svar Tzidr to the Misnagdim.
Was that letter published?
It wasn't published then. Yeah. There's a guy, a researcher. What's his name?
See that?
I don't remember his name now. There's a researcher that published a 2-volume set. I don't remember the title either. Maybe it was Chassidim or Misnagdim. I'm not sure what the title was. But a 2-volume set with all of the documents that he was able to find from, we'll call the 30 Years War, from that Tekufa of the strong Mulchama between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, all the Haramim and, the Nusach of the Chayrim and who signed it and the letters that were written.
Is there a response to that letter?
Not that I know of. Okay, so we talked about the Hallel, the Musaf. Now, how about Yalvi Yavai? We have, we know that we include Yalvi Yavai in Birkas HaMazon and in Tefillah. What if you forget Yalvi Yavai? It's probably the most relevant child that comes up on a regular basis on Rosh Chodesh. What's the halacha if you forget Yalvi Yavai? So, generally speaking, in Tefillah, you repeat Shemayin Esrei. Besides tomorrow, we'll come back to that in Neder. But by in Birkas HaMazon,
which
Tefillah? Right, so it depends. We'll come back to that. But in Birkas HaMazon, you never repeat Shemayin Esrei. Birkas HaMazon for repeating Yalvi Yavai. For forgetting Yalvi Yavai on Rosh Chodesh. You do repeat Birkas HaMazon for forgetting Yalvi Yavai on Yom Tov, but not on Rosh Chodesh.
So
the Torah says that the Torah brings down two opinions. The Torah, if I'm not mistaken, brings down that his brother Rabbi Chil had a chiddush that since you're chay, let me just back up a step. The reason why generally you would repeat on Yom Tov and not on Rosh Chodesh is because Yom Tov is chayv in a suda. If you're chayv to eat a suda and bench after your suda. So you were chayiv to say Yalvi Yavai. So that Yal B'Yavish Shal Chiyuv, if you forget it, you have to make it up. You have to bench again to get that Yal B'Yavish. But if you weren't Chayiv and Asud in the first place, so you never really had to eat, so you never had to bench, so you never had to say Yal B'Yavish, and now you forgot Yal B'Yavish. Okay, it's Nishkefarlich, you didn't have to say Yal B'Yavish today anyway. That's the general rule. So you're right. The Torah brings down that his brother Rabbi Chil, if I'm not mistaken, had an interesting chiddush that when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so now we can't say you didn't have to have a sudah. You did have to have a sudah because it's Shabbos. You had to have a sudah, so you had to bench, so you had to say Yal V'Yavai. Mm-hmm. So if you forget Yal V'Yavai, you should have to repeat benching. But he brings down that others argued. It could be I'm remembering wrong. I'm pretty sure he brings his brother's name in this discussion, but it could be his brother was in the dissent. But Maizi brings down that some argue because they said that even though it's true, you had to have a suit today, but not because of the Alvi Avi, it's for a side reason. So that shouldn't affect the status of the Alvi Avi. And I think Halacha Lamaisa, the Mishabura says that since the Machalikas we're showing them something Barakas Lahakal, we wouldn't repeat benching for that. There is such a daya, but we don't act on that. But the idea by benching is that you don't repeat benching for getting Alvi Avi because it's not Chayav in a Suda. But it's a little bit tricky. Even though it's not Chayav in a Suda, you're not allowed to fast. You are Chayav to eat on Rosh Chodesh. It's Asur Betanis, but it's not Chayav Besuda. Meaning you don't have to have pas. You could have other things to eat. You could drink a coffee and then, you know, you don't have to have any more than that. But there is an Isur Tanis. Now, this is based on a Gemara, Misachas Tanis. It's brought down the Halacha in Hilchas, I think in Hilchas Tanis, as well as in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. In both places, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that there's an Isser to fast on Rosh Chodesh. But the Mishabura writes something very interesting. And this is brought down by all the places through the Dairies. The Beis Yosef mentions this, and the Magen Avraham brings it down, and the Mishabura brings it down. And he says that although you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh, but in one city, on one Rosh Chodesh, there's a fast. In Vermeisa, the city of Worms in Germany, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, there's an ancient minhag that day is a fast day. Why? Because
that's why we say Avarachim also.
Right. Avarachim comes from the same time. In the time of the Gezeiras Tatnu, which was the Crusades, Tatnu. Tuf Nunvav of the previous millennium. It's the year 1096 of the Common Era. That was the first crusade, and that's when all of the communities of Germany were destroyed. And the community of Vermeisa was attacked on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. We, in our Tisha B'Av Kinais, there's one of the Kinais that refers to this, and it gives the dates for all the three most ancient German Kehillais, Aspira, Vermeisa, and Magenza. The Kinais tells the story of all three of them. And Vermeisa was attacked on Rosh Chodesh, it says over there, it was Rosh Chodesh Sivan.
So we still say, we like on Rosh Chodesh, if it's on Shabbos, we say Avarachim and Mech on Shabbos. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Sivan.
Right. We always say Avarachim on the Shabbos before Shavuos. Yeah. Right. Even though if it's Mevarchim, meaning usually we skip it if it's Shabbos Mevarchim, right. but if it's Iyar or Sivan, we'll say it even on Shabbos Mevarchim. But Rosh Chodesh Sivan is even more than that, because if Rosh Chodesh Sivan falls on Shabbos, then that means that Shavuos will be a Friday. I'm not sure if that ever falls out. Offhand, I can't tell you. But the Shabbos before Shavuos, we always say Avarachim. I think we've talked about this here, that's something that a lot of times people make mistakes about, because the Shabbos before Shavuos is usually a day that you wouldn't say Tachnun. And there's going to be somebody in shul that says, oh, there's no Avarachim today because we wouldn't say Tachnun if it was a weekday. But the original institution of Avarachim was for the Shabbos before Shavuos, because that was really when the Gezeiros were most concentrated. But in Vermeisa, it was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and they made it into a fast day. And it's brought down to the Shabura. On the Halach and Shulchan Aruch that says, you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh, he says, but in Vermeisa, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, there's a fast day. So what's the pshat? It's against the halacha, but that's the minhag, and the minhag is endorsed by all the paiskim.
Is that the minhag today over there? Still
nobody there today.
So now, I'm sure there's nobody left.
Just
there may be yidden there, but it would be entirely new.
Yeah.
You know, it would be people that I'm sure there were no Yidden, you know, in the time during World War II. I'm sure there were no Yidden in war. So if there are any Yidden that live there, they moved after the war. It would be an entirely new Kehilla. So I don't know if, you know, if they moved there and, you know, would they want to keep that minhag? Maybe would they be allowed to? Maybe. But it's interesting to consider how, I mean, obviously the Rabbanim in Vermaiza through the centuries included great Talmidei Chachamim, and never mind who the Rabbanim were in Vermaiza, but the Gedalia Paitzim, the Morgan of Rome brings it down, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. This was accepted. Ayat Rosh Chodesh. So maybe they felt that there's a difference between being Geizer Atanis on the Tzibur versus being, you know, a Tanis just for a limited group of people. But, you know, where it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like even if a Yachid wants to fast, he wouldn't be allowed to. Maybe more mistaber is that the Chilik is between it. Usually when the Poitzim talk about, or when the Gemara talks about days that you're not allowed to make a fast, it means you want to make a fast because of what's going on now. You're in an Eis Tzara, so you want to fast as a means of combating that Eis Tzara. So now you don't do it on Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. You can do it the day before, you can do it the day after. There's an Eis Tzara, there's a drought, Lamashal. So you can fast any day on a drought. So if this day is Rosh Chodesh, so wait till the next day. But usually when the Gemara talks about Atanis and when the Shulchan Aruch talks about Atanis, it's because there's a tzara that's happening presently. But when we're talking about a tzara that happened in the past, and we're fasting to commemorate an event that happened, maybe that's different because it happened when it happened. And if it happened on Rosh Chodesh, so if you do it on a different day, it's not commemorating the event. So a commemorative Tanis, we're more makel about making it on Rosh Chodesh than a tanis, a preemptive tanis to avoid a tzara, that we won't do on Rosh Chodesh. But a commemorative tanis to, because of a tzara, that apparently they felt you're allowed to do even on Rosh Chodesh. So there's a minug, there was a minug that in on Rosh Chodesh Sivan and Ramayza they would fast. Okay, but be that as it may, the halacha is that there's no chi of suda, and therefore you don't repeat Birkas HaMazon if you forget Yalvi Yav and Birkas HaMazon. Bitfila, on the other hand, you do repeat, right? If you forget Yalvi Yava in Shemayna Esrei, you have to repeat Shemayna Esrei. But the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed, a very well-known Gemara, says that this is only true for two out of the three tefillas. It's true for Shacharis, it's true for Mincha, but it's not true for Arvis. If a person forgets Yalvi Yava in Shemayna Esrei, Shal Arvis, he does not repeat Shemayna Esrei. Why? Lefi She'im V'kachin Tachodesh B'Layla. Taisus over there brings down that Yesh Mefarshim that wanted to be Mechalik between the first day of Rosh Chodesh and the second day of Rosh Chodesh. If it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh, that makes a lot of sense. Im Kachin and Tachedesh Balayla. So if we can imagine this was, you know, back in the good old days, with Anshah Hashanim Kesiknan and things were playing out in real time, you would never really know if it was Rosh Chodesh yet or not. Because let's see what happens tomorrow in Beis Din. If Adim will come and be Mechadish and be made that they saw the Levana, it'll be Rosh Chodesh. But maybe they won't come and it won't be Rosh Chodesh. So you never really had more than a suffix that at night, you never really had more than a suffix that it'll be Rosh Chodesh. So nowadays, okay, we're so lucky, or call it unlucky, we don't have that system, and we know, and that's since we're lucky, right? We know that tomorrow morning is Rosh Chodesh. But since if this was the old system, the more authentic system, we wouldn't know it at night. So the nighttime can always be seen as kind of like a suffix Rosh Chodesh. So you don't repeat beer because you don't repeat Shemayna Esrei if you forgot Yalvi Yavai. But these Mefarshim, quotes these Yesh Mefarshim, they say that's all very good on the first night of Rosh Chodesh. But on a month that you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and now it's the second night. So that means that the Chodesh was Me'ubar. There were 30 days to the previous Chodesh. Now we're up to day 31. Day 31 is for sure Rosh Chodesh. It's Kachu Shemayim. You don't even need Beis Din to say Mekudesh Mekachodesh Mekudesh. It's automatically Rosh Chodesh. There's no suffix about it. You know for sure that it's Rosh Chodesh. If you know for sure that it's Rosh Chodesh, so why should the night be any worse than the day? So these Yesh Mefarshim wanted to say that on the second night of Rosh Chodesh, you would repeat Shemayna Esrei for a forgotten Yalvi Yavai even by Marav. To that Zok Taisvis, but Voloi Nira. In the Gemara said that we don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei for forgotten Yavi Yavi at night. Taisa says, Yesh Mefarshim, that it's only the first night, not the second night. And then Taisa says, but no, we don't make that chilak. And Taisa doesn't explain why. So there's this mystery that the Taisa is left over for the Achrayinim. What's wrong with it? I mean, this chilak of the Yesh Mefarshim sounds very mistaber. On the first night, we get it. Neim Kashish Chedesh Balayla, so that takes away from the realness of the Rish Chedesh, but on the second night, you don't need the Kiddush Beis Din. So what's the difference if you're missing some of the realness of Rish Chedesh? So that Tosfos is a mystery. So I saw a pshat. Me a moment. So a pshat that brought down from Mordechai Savitsky. Wrote one of his svarim. Mordechai Savitsky, some of us may know his son, one of his sons now is the Rosh Hashiva of Hashiva Torah V'das. One of his sons is a Rav in Kew Gardens Hills, Rav Hanach Savitsky. He was a rabbi in Boston for many years. He was originally from Lita. I saw a very interesting letter that somebody wrote to his shver. Let me see if I can get the names. His shver, I think, was somebody from the Radin Chafetz Chaim community. I think Pupko, I think, was the name of his shver. And apparently he had written to Rabbi Avram Trupp. He was the son of Rabbi Naftali Trupp, was Rosh Hashiva in Ratten, in the Chavetz Chaim's Yeshiva. His son, Rabbi Avram Trupp, I don't know, maybe he succeeded him and took over as Rosh Hashiva, I'm not really sure. They had written to this Rabbi Avram Trupp that he should please go to Rabbi Chaim Oizer and to Rabbi Henoch Aigis. Rabbi Henoch Aigis is not as well known, but he was one of the Gedali Hadar in pre-war Europe. To get a smicha, a yera v'yadin for their edim of Mordechai Savitsky. I'm not sure. You know, maybe this, he was trying to get a job in Boston at the time, and he needed a smicha. So apparently, they asked this Rav Avram Trupp to go to Rav Chaim Oizer and Rav Henoch Aigis to get this get a smicha, and. And then they printed a letter that Rav Avram Trupp wrote back to them. And he said, I came from Chaim Oizer, and Rav Chaim Oizer said that to write smicha, to write yayu, yayu, yadin, yadin, can only take away from his chashivas. I wrote already about him that he's a younger man that's a baki b'shnei ha-talmudim. To then go and say, and he has smicha, it can only take away from his car. Who could you say that about? And then he had a similar, and then he wrote, but okay, you know, if they need it, so I'll try to help them. But he said, but he was too sick to write it. Reb Chaim Oizer was too sick to write at that time. So he writes in this letter, if he has, you know, if he feels better, he'll write a smicha, he'll sign a smicha. Apparently he was able to have this conversation, but he couldn't.
He needed for the job.
Right. And then he had a similar conversation. He writes that Rav Henoch Aigis, what did he said? He said something like that you have a yid who's a chad bedar, you know, your smicha is like a mass produced thing, and he's a chad bedar. It's not appropriate to write on him a smicha. That's what he wrote. And so he was obviously a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Lamedin, and very, very highly respected. So he writes, he talks about this halacha that where Ein Mekadshin Chedesh Balayla, and that's the reason why you don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei, if you forget Yalvi Yavai. But the problem is, when on the second night of Rosh Chedesh, it doesn't really seem to make sense. So what he said was that the idea of, that perhaps the idea of saying Yalvi Yavai on Rosh Chedesh is not so much because of maskirin me'ena ma'ura, like we do on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, right? That you're supposed to include something about the day, because adrabba, maybe, you know, that only applies when there's a kedusha sayayim. And here there is no kedusha sayayim. Okay, notwithstanding that we said before, there is a certain limited kedusha sayayim, but that's only the guy with the carbon musaf. And the aliyava is not by musaf, right? It's by shachas min chamar. So there's no kedusha sayayim. There's no simulacha. So what are you saying? Why? What's the me'ena ma'ura? Why would you be saying it? Says the pshat is, the reason why you say aliyava is because, you know, there's a mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh. We were talking before, what do you have the day right on Rosh Chodesh? So there's a mitzvah of Karbon Musaf, for sure. There's also one other mitzvah, day right about Rosh Chodesh, and okay, that is Kiddush HaChodesh. The actual base in saying Mekudesh, that's the mitzvah that you have in Parashas Bayah. Chodesh Zalachem Rosh Chodesh. There's a mitzvah on the base then to Mekadesh Chodeshim. So he wanted to suggest that which we say Yal V'Yavai is... it's like a Dirabbanan Dikka reenactment of the Kiddush HaChodesh. To declare that it's Rosh Chodesh is to be Mekayim on some level the Indian of being Mekadish LaChodesh. Of course, we're not the Sanhedrin. It's not our job on a Deraisatik level. We don't have that mitzvah. But Dirabbanan were Mesakein that we should declare Rosh Chodesh in our Tefillah as some sort of a Kiyim of the Indian of Kiddush based in being Mekadish LaChodesh. So Mela, the Gemara says something very, very straightforward. The Gemara says, but by Mariv, with Emekash is Chodesh Balayla, so it's a much lower level Inyan, this whole Inyan of saying, it kind of leaves us wondering, so why even the Chachila is supposed to say, why do you say it all together? So I'm not sure. You know, maybe you would say that, maybe, you know, on the Rabbanan Dikka level, there is some kind of a Me'ena Ma'ura after all. You know, Chanukah and Purim have a me'ana me'ura, like a lower level me'ana me'ura, but you'll notice that we're not machzirin, right. I say, for those. So, but the ikar hadin of Yal V'Yavai, the primary purpose of the Yal V'Yavai, is to be mekayim the inyan of kiddush beistin, being mekadosh l'chodesh. So therefore, by Mariv, since I'm mekadosh l'chodesh b'layla, so you don't have that inyan. That's why I say machzirin. It's a very geshmak of pshat.
And benching l'chodesh, the Shabbos before is what? Is folkloric? I mean, it's...
What's the purpose of that? You mean, some people say also over there that it's to, that it has to do with the Indian of Kiddush HaChodesh. I'm not sure who says that. Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of that? I think the main purpose is that to remind the Olam, so people should know that Rosh Chodesh is coming. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really sure. Now, there's a very geshmaka discussion in Tosfos about this halacha. It's really negated to a lot of tefillahs, but Tosfos says it about Rosh Chodesh's Yal V'Yavai. What's the halacha if somebody, let's say by Minchi, you forget Yal V'Yavai, so you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei, right? Now, ordinarily, if somebody skips Mincha, he forgets to daven Mincha, so he davens two Maravs. If somebody tried to daven Mincha but failed, meaning he davened Mincha but he wasn't Yaitzeh, he left out the bracha of... Atagibar, and he realizes after Shemoneh Esrei he just left out a bracha, so he has to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. So, but he only realized it later. Then he has to repeat. He has to daven two marav, because if you daven mincha but you weren't yaitzeh, that's the same as not daven mincha. So he didn't daven mincha, so he has to daven two marav. So what happens in a case where somebody he daven mincha on Rosh Chodesh afternoon, but he forgot. He didn't know it was Rosh Chodesh. He forgot all about it. Then before Mariv, he sees the guy next. The guy next to him leans over and says, wait, is it still Rosh Chodesh? He says, still? What do you mean? Was it Rosh Chodesh today? And he says, yeah, it was Rosh Chodesh this afternoon. But is it still Rosh Chodesh? No, it's not still Rosh Chodesh. It was one day Rosh Chodesh. Okay, great. But now I just discovered that Mincha time it was Rosh Chodesh, and I didn't say Yal V'Yavai. You have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you didn't say Yal V'Yavai Mincha. I didn't repeat Shemoneh Esrei, so I owe Shemoneh Esrei. I should daven two Maravs. Problem is, Zaktosvis, but now it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. So you can daven two Maravs now, you can daven an extra Shemoneh Esrei without Yal V'Yavai. A Shemoneh Esrei without Yal V'Yavai, you said already. You said a very beautiful Mehudadik Shemoneh Esrei. The only problem was that you didn't have a Yal V'Yavai. You're going to go make an extra Shemoneh Esrei now, which again is not going to have Yal V'Yavai. Zaktosvis, Mayar V'Yach B'Kach, what are you going to gain with that? So therefore, Tosfos says that you don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei under those circumstances.
Wow. What do you do on Shabbos if you forgot the Mincha on Shabbos?
Right, same situation. If somebody forgets... No, if you forgot mincha altogether, that's not the same situation. You mean, let's say you forgot that it was Shabbos, and you daven the vachet de kishmona esrei by mincha. So then maybe you'd be in the same situation. So Taisa says, Mayer v'yech b'kach. Oh, so other Rishonim argue. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch brings down a Machlokes Rishonim about this. Taisa says that you can't repeat Shemoneh Esrei because you're not going to gain anything. Other Rishonim say that there's a big difference. Right. There's no more Yal V'Yal. But other Rishonim say that sure you're going to gain because when you davened these 19 beautiful brachas in the afternoon, you were not Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei. You're going to daven these same brachas at night when it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. It'll look the same, but it'll have all the difference in the world. Now it's going to be a kosher Shemoneh Esrei. So you're going to be Marviyach HaTfilah. So other Rishonim say, therefore, that you do repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Tell you that you don't. The Mechaber Paskins, that since it's a Savak, it's a Mechalik, so what you should do is you should daven it as a Tfilas Nadava. There's this idea that the Gemara has, where's the Gemara? Tav Chafalif, I think. Where Rabbi Yochanan says, "Alavai sheyispal adam kol yom kulay." There's no such thing as too many brachas, too many Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is always good because you could daven at tefilas nedava. The Ma'aser, the Paiskim say that you should be very careful with applying that because you know if you're going to daven just for fun, you know just out of your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should really be a very proper tefilah. And if you're going to daven a lousy tefillah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, what do I need this gift for? So generally we avoid nowadays davening tefillah sedava. But under these circumstances, that the person has this suffix, whether he should daven or another Shemoneh Esrei or he shouldn't, so the Shulchan Aruch recommends that you take a daven tefillah sedava under those circumstances. Now this goes a little bit me'inyan le'inyan, but ba'oisei inyan. I heard once from Shivan Landers or Vianison Sachs, he had a very creative comparison to this case that the Rishonim discussed, where you have this Shemoneh Esrei, you weren't Yoytzei, so now you could do it again, but if you do it again, it's going to look the same as the old one, and Mayer V'ich, what are you going to gain? He gave the following scenario. Let's imagine it's the Pesach Seder, and you're eating the matzah, and the halacha is that you have to eat the matzah b'hasevi. You're supposed to be leaning on your left side when you eat the matzah. Person eats the matzah, and he forgot about the mitzvah b'hasevi. So he ate the matzah sitting up straight. He ate it, he sat it and ate it b'emu v'yira, like he says, kriya shema. And then when he finishes, he said, oh yeah, I forgot to do hasevi. What's the halacha? Do I have to eat it again? Do I not have to eat it again? He doesn't know. So he goes around the corner to his rabbi's house, and he asks his rav, Do I have to eat the matzah again? So Rav says, yeah. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The haseib is ma'akev. So if you ate without haseib, you weren't, you have to eat haseib again. He says, oh, okay, fine. I'll go home and I'll eat another kazayis of matzah. But the Rav says, no, it's 11:59 now. Right, it's a minute before chatzais. If you go home, it's going to be after chatzais. You have to eat before chatzais. So you should sit down right here and eat the matzah right here. So your Rav gives you kazayis matzah, and you're going to eat it. The halacha is that in front of your Rebbe, you don't do haseba. A Talmud lefnei rabbi is pater me haseba. So now you're going to sit and eat the matzah, and the Rav says, no, but sit up straight. Be'im over yira. In front of me, be'im over yira. So then the guy says, well, but I just did that. I just ate a kazayis matzah. All I was missing was the haseba. So now I should eat another kazayis matzah and again without haseba? But the halacha is that, yeah, the mice of the first time when you were chayiv in a seva, right. The seva was makiv and you weren't yaitzeh your kazayis matzah. Now in your Rebbe's house, you're associated without a seva and you'll be yaitzeh like that. So it was a made up case, but a very interesting comparison, or parallel to this case in Texas. So I just wanted to add, he was making it up as a made up case. But I heard a Maisa Shahaya. I heard this from Meir Deutsch a number of years ago. You know, by Chassidish Rebbes, the Pesach Seder, by some Rebbes, the Bachrim from the Chassidus eat by the Rebbe. They have their Seder by the Rebbe. So I think this was after the Bava Rav was Nifter, Rav Shlaima Halberstam, and he was succeeded by his son, Rav Naftali. Raftali was already old and not well at the time that he took over Zebra. I think he was there for 2 years and then he died. He was not well. I'm sure there are many instances of rebbes that are not well, but this is the Maestro Yekachi. He was not well at the time that he was a rebbe, the whole time. And Baba was a big chassidus, and there was a big auditorium, you know, whatever, in their Beis Medrash, in their dining room, by the rebbe's seder, and all the bachim were there. And the minig is that at the rebbe's seder, there's no haseba, because, you know, that's what the Gemara says. Tam lefnei rabbi's patur mehaseba. So they were, you know, they made kiddush and they drank the first kiddush without haseba. They said the agada and they drank the second kiddush without haseba, and they ate the matzah without haseba. Mm-hmm. But the rebbe was not well, and he was not able to sit at the table the whole entire time. And the gabayim, you know, some were wheeling him in and out, you know, when he was able to. And the maisa, when they were up to the matzah, the rebbe was out of the room. There was no rebbe at the table. The Olam didn't realize that. They were trying to do it sort of, you know, in an inconspicuous way. And everybody was sitting, eating their matzah, sitting up straight, and the Rebbe wasn't there. And they weren't Yotzei. And then they had to eat another Kedai's matzah. But then the Rebbe was brought back in. The Mamish had this maizah. The Mamish had this maizah over there. I don't know. Now that Ad Kan Shamati. More than that, I don't know. What did they do? What did they discuss? I don't know. But that's this case. And l'chayr, the halacha should be that they had to eat another kezayis matzah, and again without haseba. Okay, one last nekuda. Reb Chaim has a vart about this case of Tosis. Reb Tosis says how if your extra Shemar Nesri Bei Maariv is going to be the same as your bad Shemar Nesri Bei Mincha, so Mayer V'yech Mekach, you shouldn't even bother. So you were making a comparison with Shabbos and Matzah Shabbos. So how about with Friday and Shabbos? Right. Let's say a person is davening Mincha on Erev Shabbos and he forgets Talmud Matar. Now, for forgetting Talmud Matar, you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. So you're going to go to Maariv, and I forgot Talmud Matar, so I should daven two Maarivs. But there is no Talmud Matar. It's Friday night, and the Shabbos davening, there's no Talmud Matar. So l'chayra, at first glance, it would seem to us that that's the same as Tosis. Mayer v'yech mekach. So you shouldn't bother. Chaim says no. He says in this case, all Yishan will agree that you have to daven two Maaravs. Because Tosis's svara was dafka by Yaal v'yavoy. Yaal v'yavoy could be seen as something outside of the Shemayna Esrei that's inserted. Mm-hmm. The Shemayna Esrei is comprised of 19 brachais. And that's tefillah. And when it's Rish Chodesh, Yontif, we take another tefillah and we say that too. And where do we say it? We say it in the middle of our Shemayna Esrei. And if you forgot it, so you have to daven Shemayna Esrei again because you forgot that extra tefillah. But that extra tefillah is considered something external to the actual Shemayna Esrei. So their Tosis feels that if you already davened the Shemayna Esrei, you just didn't get that tefillah. But now it's the nighttime, so you're anyway not going to get that tefillah. So Mayer Vich, what are you going to gain? But if you just leave out a bracha, so that means you didn't daven Shemayna Esrei. Talmud Matar is not an insertion into the tefillah, even though that's the way it strikes us, because we only add it in the winter. But there's two versions, the proper way to look at it is that bracha, there's two versions of the bracha, the winter nusach and the summer nusach. But if you're in the winter, the bracha has the words Talmud Matar. And if you left out Talmud Matar, you left out an important component of the bracha, so you didn't say your Shemayna Esrei. If you didn't say your Shemayna Esrei, you have to daven again. And even if your next tefillah is Shabbos, it's a whole different tefillah, but you have to daven again because you didn't say Shemayna Esrei. So Rebbe Chaim says, in that case, everyone would agree they have to daven two Shemayna Esrei at night.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter that you don't say the same Talmud.
Right, regardless of that. Exactly. Why can't you say this?